You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
My name is Liv. I used to be passionate, inspired, alive. Now I'm mostly just hungry and a zombie, so there's that.
Thanks for tuning in to the BoobTube here on Sci-Fi for Chicks, where we take a look at the latest episode of the TV shows we're watching right now, and you should be too. I am your host, Happy Holidays, Heather French, and joining me is Doreen dashing through the snow shadle.
Aww.
I got to be a little festive here for the holidays, and since you met Dasher.
I did meet Dasher.
How was
it? Quite exciting.
You were worried.
Dasher is a female.
You were worried about the antlers, though.
I was. I had a selfie taken, and you can tell in my face that I was like, "Watch out for the antlers!"
Yeah, don't touch the hair.
Don't touch the hair.
We are a little bit late, and I'm going to say that is partially because of the holidays. It has been very crazy, so we are our apologies a week late. Podcasting on the mid-season finale of iZombie. We're going to be talking about season 2, episode 9, Cape Town. I almost forgot the title of the episode.
That's
right. I was already thinking about the title of the next one that's not on for almost another month now. So we're going to be talking about that. I'm sorry, we're a little bit late, but we still wanted to get it out to you because there's some really fun moments in this, and especially being the geeks that we are and going to the cons that we see. It was fun seeing all these masked crime fighters.
Crime fighting people.
Like we had the fog. I'm the fog, and tonight I'm thick with justice.
That poor guy.
I like how you're trying to go, oh, I don't want to.
I was going to say that poor schlep, but yeah. Hashtag. Or tic-tac-toe guy.
Yeah, the tic-tac guy. Oh, that's hashtag. He's the hashtag. Jumping to that scene, I loved it when they had everybody all lined up, and the guy's like, look, I just work at the juicing place. I don't want to take on the mob boss.
That's right. Guns, mob. Yeah, I'm not down with that.
It makes me think of all the crime fighters that we see at the cons and such. It's like, are you just good with, like, convention crime, or if the mob boss come up with you,
that's right.
What would you do? I think Thor would, because he's the god of thunder.
Uh-huh.
That's an inside joke for the two of us. So we have the fog who thwarts what we think is a purse snatching.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ends up in the trash, and Clive knows who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this is somebody that the police deal with on a regular basis, or the vigilante.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the, yeah. And he's like, oh, I knew this was going to happen sometime, you know. He just knew.
Liv was really, I don't think she was necessarily happy to get a crime-fighting brain, but she was ready to get off that stalker brain.
Oh, the stalker brain had to go. Yeah.
It just, even in the, at the beginning of the episode, which we'll talk about more later when we talk about Major, she doesn't even care what this brain is.
Mm-mm. I love a shop teacher superhero. Which one will come out?
Yeah. Exactly. So what is it that Robbie says, like, after she eats it and she has the brain and he starts talking
something about a spice rack?
So no spice rack then. And he is just, he was like,
oh, you could just look. I saw it twice because I felt like I needed to watch it again. And yes, just the expression on his face every time she said something came out of her mouth that was like superhero-ish.
Mm-hmm.
He was just giddy like a little schoolgirl. And just eating it up. I love it. So, no spice rack.
No spice rack.
And of course, Clive is like, what? What's going on?
Yeah. He is just, Raoul is just so spot on with this geeky giddiness.
Mm.
But then again, if you read his tweets at all, that's just him. Mm. Raoul had just as much giddiness about the, like, yay, we're going to have the superhero brains. I'm so happy. I even like how we didn't see the full, like, montage of her preparing the brains, but it's a hero sandwich.
Yes, it's a hero sandwich.
Those little things, I think, are really great. Mm-hmm. It always applies to the person, and she's having this hero sandwich. The other thing I love about Robbie with this is
he says that he has mentally assembled his own utility belt before.
Mm-hmm.
Going over all the different things and duct tape, you know. Mm-hmm. I totally believe this. And I want to see him pull out his own utility belt and go to a convention.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think of this crime overall? Like I said, we thought it was...
We thought it was just a mugging gone bad.
And that the bad guys that were chasing the mugger, they're the ones that killed the fog.
Mm-hmm.
But then we find out something quite different. What did you think?
Oh, it was a good twist, actually. Because I did not see that coming. And then when they had that thug in the police room, and he was just like, oh, no, we were, you know, she's the one who did it. And,
oh, yeah.
And I was like, what? And then when he explained everything, you're like, oh, really? Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, and Liv is so on this superhero brain mm-hmm. that she's not there for this stuff. She's mm-hmm. on her own vigilante quest. Mm-hmm. She has to do something because the police aren't good. So somebody has to stop the guns when she sees this vision of this, that she's not there for this bit of information.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes in to rescue.
She gets killed, yeah.
Yeah, because she didn't, oh, I will save you, damsel mm-hmm. in distress. I'm like, she's such a damsel in distress.
That's right.
It was a good twist mm-hmm. because I think that's the thing they've really got to keep on top of is making the crimes not just
interesting.
Seem, yeah, not just seem totally procedural.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was, I think, also taking on that she has to go and do something about these guns. She's seen the guns that mm-hmm. Stacy Boss, our boss guy, is getting into the city. And it's like, I'm the probable cause that she says that to Clive. Mm-hmm. That's, we don't need evidence. I'm the probable. I think that's part of her, too. Like, she thinks that because of all this extra information she has from the brains mm-hmm. and this insight that she has from being the zombie, that she doesn't need to play totally by the rules.
Yeah.
It just seems that way. And then she ends up getting herself into quite a bit of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Still on the Liv as the super villain, how did you like Ravi trying to come up with her name? Because, you know, every crime fighter mm-hmm. needs a really good name.
Yes.
And he was enjoying that just a little too much. We had that Mighty Whitey, Snow Woman, and Old Scratchy.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the Old Scratchy. I didn't. He's like, give it a thought. You know, think about it for a minute. I'm like, no. The Tidy Whitey, I love it. Oh, man, the KKK.
I don't think they need any help there.
No.
I'm ready for a Ravi episode, though, where he really is, where he's not just being just the comic relief, mm-hmm. even though I really appreciated that. Because what she ends up coming up with is in that Christmas decor fight there. It's like, I'm the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
We have her almost being killed, too, but not, because she can't really be, but not that Mary,
mm-hmm.
you know, is going to know this. You know, she just thinks she's going to kill her. And the one that comes to save Liv
mm-hmm.
is the crime boss guy.
Yeah.
So in a way, at least to the outside world, she's indebted to him.
Yeah.
You're welcome. How is this going to play in the future? Because we already have Peyton is investigating
him.
And we know that, you know, Clive is going to have some sort of part in this as well. I mean, you saw how upset he was when Liv corroborates Stacy Boss's story that Mary's dead because he was protecting Liv.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Clive was upset.
Mm-hmm.
He really wanted to catch him doing it. You know?
Yeah.
And Boss is playing this whole, you know, I'm a CPA, not a supervillain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to want the favor returned, I'm sure, at some point. I'm not sure how, maybe with Peyton somehow, you know, like getting through, you know, getting her files or sabotaging her in some way or, I don't know. Do you think he knows she's a zombie?
I don't think so.
Do you think he knows about zombies?
I don't know. I want to say no. But in this world, it seems like pretty much everybody knows except for Clive.
Yeah.
Which I did read something online, and Rob Thomas was saying how he doesn't anticipate Clive knowing anytime soon. Because like he said, once that genie's out of the bottle, you can never put it back in.
Yeah.
And you'd miss all those little beats of
mm-hmm. Clive being like, okay, really?
Yeah. That's true. That's very true.
And as a cop, he's already extended himself by having this corner psychic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, add zombie on top of that. And I think he would just retire. I'm gone. I'm done.
I'm done.
I'm out of there. I don't know. I think that it's going to play interesting because Liv's not really indebted to him.
No.
But he thinks she is. And yeah, I think he's going to try and play it on there. And, I mean, that plays into the whole, if she's now got this tie to Stacey Boss, and Major's got this tie to, you know, Vaughn, I forget Vaughn's last name, the Max Rager thing, and they're both almost beholding to something else that are kind of at odds. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that's kind of leading towards what might be the season finale, is something that's going to go on
with crossing this, those paths.
Yeah, with this kind of quadriline lateral type thing.
I can see that.
I don't know. I like this guy that's playing Stacey Boss. Because he does seem... I would not pick
him. He's like a Mr. Goody Two-Shoes kind of looking guy, you know?
He's got a little bit of that creepy peeper.
He does have a creepiness factor to him, too.
But there's nothing that you could point at. I think if you didn't know that he's this crime boss, that makes him... I mean, he's a Santa, for goodness sake. He's, you know...
He works very hard, making himself look really good.
Yeah. And... I don't know. I just... He's playing it really well, I think. I like him as a character. And as somebody that could just be a one-off character. Whatever. Mm-hmm. He's just this background. Yeah, he's this baddie, but... They're playing him really well. I think he's going to be interesting once he gets in the mix a little bit more. I'm wondering, though, if he does, like you brought up, does he know about zombiness? And if and when he does.
Maybe that's why he's kind of helped... Well, I don't know. Maybe that's why he helped Liv out, because he's hoping that maybe he could use her in some way.
I don't know.
But we don't know. But he also knows that she knows about the guns.
Yeah, because her Cape Crusader brain is being a little bit too forthcoming.
It's kind of one of those keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Very true.
You know, kind of thing. And she's kind of the enemy, so to speak.
Yeah. And she's in with the police. So, you said, he could use her to try and find out what's going on. I mean, I don't know if he knows about the Peyton connection yet. Yeah. I'm sure we're going to get that. But he knows the police connection.
Yeah.
Even though Clive... one of our ending things here is severing that tie a little bit, at least now, when he said, you know, like how she went after him, there's no warrant, there's no evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you're not a cop, even though I've been treating you like one. And it's just like, we're done. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't do this anymore. And her world is like falling apart in this whole era. She's losing. I mean, I almost think that the superhero brain came to her when she needed help most. I mean, especially after that stalker brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That she really needed something. And everything seemed to kind of go away in this episode for her.
Yeah.
Which is a good, you know, cliffhanger finale type thing. An Empire Strikes Back kind of cliffhanger. Yeah, we're going to see that on Friday, so that's why I had to throw that in.
Yeah.
Yay. But she really is losing a lot of hope. Yeah. I think in this. And now Clive, her one purpose.
No, was to help.
To make. Tom Merlin. Yeah. I can use this brain to.
Yeah.
You know, for some good, for some purpose. Like eating brains isn't just because I have to survive. I'm doing it for a reason.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a greater purpose anymore. So going on the whole losing hope thing, we do have this almost cameo-ish, but not really. Well, yeah, I guess. Cameo appearance by Blaine.
Yes.
Who seems very different from the Blaine that we've gotten to know and love to hate.
Mm-hmm.
He seems almost more mild-mannered and tempered. I don't know. Is this because Daddy's missing and that thing's off of him? Is it a writing thing? Is it...
Because he's not a zombie anymore?
Yeah, I don't know. He seems different. I mean, he had some fun things there when he gets the... You know, because... Okay, so we have his henchman who accidentally... shoots this guy you don't want to shoot this guy, and they go to take him to Liv and Ravi going, you gotta save him. They can't save him except to turn him into a zombie, so Liv has to scratch him. And then Blaine has to give the whole, I'm a little rusty, at the welcome to Team Z speech.
And look at me, you did see, what was it?
Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead. The things outside of the mall. That's what you are.
That's what you are. Just some spray tan and hair dye. You can keep on keeping on. I like those moments, but he seems so much more mellow than... I don't know if it's him settling into his new place, if it's the actor, David Anders, finding a new place. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just...
It is different. He's like not... He's down a couple notches as far as his intensity level.
Yeah. I wonder if he's like trying to hold on to these different things too, because after he had that fight with Ravi a couple episodes ago, last episode, where he thought he was going for the cure... And they had the fight, and Ravi smashes it and said that was the tainted utopium. And he wants... I still don't know why he wants the cure so bad. Because, I mean, he's cured.
Well, doesn't he want to sell it to his zombie patients for a profit? I mean, maybe. Major profit? Maybe. I mean, yeah, he's making money selling them brains, but brains are kind of hard to come by easily.
Yeah,
but if you could get $1 million for the cure...
You can keep paying me $25,000 a month or a one-time payout.
I think he's looking at it as a profit.
So you think that's why?
I don't know. That's my guess. Because he's not a zombie anymore, so he obviously doesn't want it for himself.
No.
You know.
I wonder if he'd go back to being a zombie. I don't think so. He still has his funny one-liners, like when his henchman guy brings in the guy, he's like, damn it, I'm a brain dealer, not a doctor. And which is, it's a double play there, because it's kind of a play on the whole Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. McCoy, damn it, I'm a doctor, not a fill in the blank, whatever he wanted to say. But it was also kind of funny because I caught up on this half of the season of Once Upon a Time. The show I still watch because there's a few hot guys on there, even though it jumped the shark a long time ago. He actually made an appearance in either the mid-season finale or the one right before it, because he had been on Once Upon a Time. He played Dr. Whale, who was Dr. Frankenstein, but he makes an appearance. And they're commenting on his hair, and because he's got the white hair and the spray tan on there, and they're commenting on it. And he does these throwaway lines about what? I can't change the color. You can change your hair color, but I can't. You know. So he does these whole things. So the fact that he came back as a doctor on Once Upon a Time, on iZombie, he's like, damn it. Brain dealer, not a doctor. Yeah, that was the other show. He still has these funny little lines.
Yeah.
But is he advancing himself in the story, like a him and Ravi kind of thing? Because he's telling, like Blaine's talking about how this guy here is the tainted utopia guy.
Yeah.
You know, so.
You gotta save him.
Yeah. So he's doing this. Does he know? Because this was. After catching up on Star Wars, I want to keep saying Boss Nass, but it's Stacey Boss. That he's Stacey Boss's henchman-y guy. Right? Wasn't it the end? Didn't he walk?
Yeah, he did.
So is it just Blaine trying not to get on the bad side of Stacey Boss? Is it...
Maybe, yeah.
Alright, yeah.
Because he was upset that he shot... That he was shot, you know, because that's... Well, that's the mob's henchman, so, that's not going to be good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I need to kind of go more with Blaine a little bit.
Yeah.
We're kind of losing, what Blaine's purpose is right now.
Yeah.
You know, is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? He's kind of middle of the road right now, it seems,
Yeah. He may not be an ultimate good guy or an ultimate bad guy, but what is he this week? What is his reason for doing all this? Why is he? And,
yeah.
I mean, I liked his interaction, but there's a point when... When they're all working together, Blaine and Ravi and Liv, then I'm like, this is just like too Scooby Gang like, and you're not supposed to be on the same sides.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like him, but I just don't know what to make of the Blaine character right now. I know what to do with Ravi. Poor Ravi at the end goes and sees that one of the rats that had the cure has now reverted
back.
So there's again. Help dying for Liv.
This is where my question is.
Okay.
He's out in the field with, that metal detector. I don't understand that part of it.
He was looking for those two guys that had swallowed the drugs.
I see.
And were buried.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense now.
So, and at first I was like, why don't I, oh yeah. You want them because
maybe that might just still be in their system.
Right.
You know, might be in their body.
Right. But they still haven't made that connection to that it's not, I'm a firm believer, it's not just a tainted utopium, it's a tainted utopium and Max Rager.
Mm-hmm.
It's these two somehow combined together. So nobody has made that comic close. We came close to it, but I want to get to that in just a second. Anything else really in playing Ravi? I mean, Ravi looked, the thing I think I like about Ravi the most is he's down, but he's not out. He's like major setback.
Mm-hmm.
You give this cure, somebody can revert back. So this is probably going to happen in a human too, but he's still,
yeah.
I'm not going to give up on this. I'm not. Even though Liv seems to be, I don't know if she knows. I forget. Did she, see, I only watched it once. Did she doesn't know about that one rat. Rooting back.
No, I don't think Robbie's saying anything to her. No, I think he just kind of found out about it. I don't think he even had time to tell her.
Yeah.
In this episode, so.
I mean, she's just losing all sorts of hope. And I think it started with, well, I mean, it started a long time ago, but especially with the stalker brain. We start right in with them on picking up the next morning after the last episode where she was snooping. It's that yeah. whole, we start with this fight, round 3,000, yeah. whatever, Ravi looking so tired, like, oh. But, I mean, that really started it, I think, for her, is, like, this total break from everything in that, you know, she's snooping, and she finds out that he was with someone else, but they were on a break. I don't want to be on Ross's side, but they were on a break.
Well, they were. And she was okay with that. He was honest with her about that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the one who replied to that girl. You know, she kept giving him shit about, oh, she's sending sexy pictures. Well, you asked for one as posing as him.
Right.
So what did you expect?
Yeah, like, oh, well, you were there. Why did you look and see that I had no texts with her? Not granted, he could have erased them. But, you know, I mean, he was thinking that. It's just... He's still trying to hang on, and she really let that brain get to her. And I think that stalker brain combined with this do-gooder brain.
Yeah.
And then losing hope that what the do-gooder brain wasn't able to do what she wanted to. It wasn't able to get those guns off the street. And she's so downhearted. I think that's what leads to this at the end. I mean, he's still like, you know, here we go, Groundhog Day. And
yeah.
I love him when there is a pfft. She's trying to blow it off. He's still really trying to work for it.
Yeah. Well, I think the discussion, too, that he had with his last victim, kind of, he got to get a lot off his chest.
Yeah.
You know, it just...
I want to talk more about this, too, because I love the editing of this, where we just have this whole messy thing with Liv, and her using his finger while he was sleeping to snoop. And the next time we see him, he's flirting with this chick at the bar, and you're like, what the? And it's not until he gets up close to her and his Z-Dar goes off that you're like, oh, he's back on the Max Rager patrol type thing. The way he's following her, he's hunting her, like the way he's saying in her. But he's really observing things, and the fact that he watches her put up all these decorations and do all this stuff, and he's ready to go in and do his job right as she's about to kill herself. And he stops her.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a great moment for his character, because here we thought all along the season that he's killing these zombies. And we find out that he's not. He's putting them on ice until there's a cure. Until my friend Ravi finds a cure. Because Ravi will find a cure.
Yeah.
Even to the point where he's going to save this woman from committing suicide.
Yeah.
Because there will be a cure. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. And like you said, that whole long talk that they have, that was an awesome moment for both of them to get things that they couldn't say to anybody else.
Exactly. Okay, my other question reverts to her. Why could she not travel and be a zombie?
Because, well, you know, your feeding restrictions, the I think it was like the pressure and things. I remember with Lowell, like when he was up doing some things, some of that adrenaline excitement could actually set it off.
Oh,
so you can't.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like one of those risk things that she has.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There. And then also, you know, getting brains and such, especially when you're, and we know that that Blaine is the one that turned her, the way she talked about it. It's totally Blaine, especially when she says about Team Z, that you're part of Team Z now. It's like, that's a Blaine thing to say. How her life changed. I mean, she was doing the exact same thing she was when she wasn't a zombie, but now.
It's somebody else's decisions.
Yeah.
Not hers.
Yeah. And like, I'm having sex for food. Mm-hmm. That just, the way she talked about this was just so demoralizing. And so, this is where his social work really comes back into it. I mean, it's just, she was ready for him to take her out. She's even saying, oh, are you the boogeyman? So he has a name.
Yeah.
Liv doesn't have a crime fighter name, but he's got his vigilante, the boogeyman, you know, sneaking up and taking them.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's got a reputation in the zombie world.
Yeah.
Everybody hears about him and is scared of him, and I guess his cover is being pretty good that they all think that he's getting rid of the zombies.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't know.
That he's not actually doing the helping thing. I like that moment when she was talking about the effects of the brain. And the brain she's getting, the nun, the person,
hunter.
Yeah, the hunter, the person with dementia, and how she's either being controlled by a pimp or by a brain. And I think that did help him get it. I mean, there's no way that he's going to fully know unless he was a zombie, which he's been cured now. But when Liv gets on him at the end about that, it's like, you think you know now that you have this. And I think she's being more blind to it or high and mighty about it than he is. Yes? No?
No, I can see that. But she was also, I mean, she had kind of lost hope all around, so she had that moment, you know, that's what I think where she was pulling that from, too.
Yeah.
She's kind of lost, like you said, she's lost hope. She kind of failed at the superhero thing, and she's down on that, and so she just feels like no hope, you know.
Yeah. It's too bad, too, because I think if you had been able to talk with her, like, about this, like, she says, does your girlfriend know this? Does she know what you're doing for her? And he's like, no, because if she knew, she would try to stop it. She would get herself killed. It's like this is one of the first times I think I've seen him genuinely smile. Not because, yay, I'm with Liv again, like he did a few episodes ago, but he can't even tell Robbie would spill the beans.
Oh, yeah.
Not
on purpose, no.
But he would so tell. So it's like he can't tell anybody. And the way he's able to tell her, you know, she's talking about him being a quality boyfriend. But he hasn't told her because he knows what she'll do.
Yeah.
He does know Liv better than she thinks he does.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's leaving herself open for that. She's the one too. I don't know her name. I wish I knew her name. Did they? They didn't say her name. Did they?
I'm sure they did, but I don't recall.
She was talking about drinking Max Rager. That's where I'm like, they're leaving these breadcrumbs for us. Somebody needs to make this connection that Max Rager. Have, jumping to a totally different episode, does Vaughn know? Does Vaughn know that Max Rager is Pete?
I think, well, he said the one who has the zombies in the lab downstairs, so I think he has some idea of...
Which gives him such an upper hand.
Something. I mean, why would he be, I mean, what's, I don't know.
I don't know. It'd be interesting if he is the only one that's made that connection, or his camp is the only one that's made the connection. And it makes me wonder when everybody will come, somehow accidentally come together and get the full clue, or, I don't know. Because it's just there so much that it just feels like it has to be a major part of it.
Yeah. I think. Oh, I think so.
I think. It would be kind of cool if Major is the one that figures this out. Because he's on the Max Rager side. And Ravi's trying to find it, just thinking it's just tainted utopian and whatever.
Yeah.
So I think it would be good if Major has something to do with it here, figuring out.
I wonder how he would figure it out.
I don't know. And he's a pretty smart guy. He quickly figured out, you know, putting the people in cold storage. I mean, he finds what he's doing reprehensible, but he hasn't killed anybody yet. Which does make me feel better about Miner. That Miner that he didn't just knock off Miner's person. But He seems to be a pretty quick thinker. He's got a good ground, a good heart to himself.
Oh, yeah.
Would he follow through if there's no cure? She made him promise. If there's no cure, if it doesn't work, she doesn't want to come back as a zombie, would he do it?
I think he would if he absolutely knew for sure there wasn't a cure, but knowing Major, he would always hold out hope.
Right.
You know, there might not be one now, but soon, you know, next year, maybe next year. But I think if he knew for sure there wasn't one, he promised, I think he would keep his promise. And she won. No offense, but she wanted to go. So, I mean, she gave him permission. You know, it's one thing about the people he nabbed without knowing anything, but she was like, please.
Yeah. What happens if something happens to him? Because we have all these zombies on ice.
Someone will find the bodies, they'll go to the morgue, and as they thaw out, they'll come back to life.
Well, what if they have one where there's like a power outage? And ooh. So like it thaws and they all start coming back. That's and a little right. bit hungry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that could happen. And then Vaughn would realize he didn't kill any of them, and then they'd go after him, and then maybe Liv would come to his rescue. I don't know.
That could be interesting. Okay, writers, we're throwing it out there. Power outage.
Outage.
It's the West Coast. It happens in LA all the time. I'm sure it can happen in Seattle. Sure?
Oh, yeah.
So, what did you think about her breaking up with them? We belong with our own kind. We have to break
I'm
up.
Mad. I'm always mad, though.
Mad at?
Her. I mean, here he is. He's trying. He's doing what he can, and, you know, and...
He even brings up synthetic brains. And she's like, I won't go on synthetic. It reminds me of, like, I'm being human.
Oh, yeah.
When Aiden is going for the blood at the blood bank.
Uh-huh.
You know, or the animal blood. It's like, it gets me by. It's not good.
Yeah.
Like, when he's trying, the kid, the teenager, you know, that term. And he's like, yeah, okay, it gets me by.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not the good stuff, but it gets me by. She totally nixes this idea.
I know. She's just, I don't know if it's, again... Because she's, like, down and lost hope. That it's just continuing, and she's just like, there's no hope. This isn't going to work out. Blah, blah, blah.
So what is it, where does her no hope come from, do you think?
I don't know. The superhero. Well, you know, the fact that Clive basically said, forget it, no more.
The various hope rats have died early on.
I don't know.
Is she just not... I hate to say this because she's right now, really our lone female. I mean, we do kind of have Peyton and we kind of have Rita Gilda, but basically she's our lone female. But has she lost faith in herself and lost faith in future? Like she's just not strong enough to do this and needs to be picked up by others or?
I think she has a touch of that. I think she has. I mean, she was really. You know, the whole thing about the zombie was, you know, nobody wants to be a zombie, but she really was making it work. She liked that she was helping people. She was taking something that was negative, and she had lemons, and she made lemonade with what she had, you know, and she liked helping and doing that, and then Clyde putting the kibosh,
It goes back a lot to the fact that she doesn't have a control over... really what she does. Like, when she gets upset that Major says that it's not just about the brain I'm on. And he's like, well, how do I know when it's you and when it's the brain? And she gets upset about this, but I'm like, this is a valid question, I think. Like, when are you being, because it's the same voice coming out.
Yeah.
But everything was honky-dory. We were in bed together, we were sleeping there, and then suddenly Stalker Brain takes over, and you're snooping and not trusting me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think Major has ever given her a reason to not trust her.
Yeah.
So the brains take over, and I think our zombie confidant that Major had, she hit the nail on the head. It's like, I'm either being controlled by the pimp or by the brains.
Yeah.
And in a way, I think she had it, quote-unquote, good, because if the brains weren't controlling her, she did have somebody else that was making her way. That was making her miserable, but she had that other thing to rely on.
Yeah.
That, well, now you have to do this. Like you said, live now that Clive is set. Yeah, okay, we can't be partners anymore.
She doesn't have that.
She's lost that. And so all that's left is being controlled by the brains.
Yeah.
One of the things I don't get, I mean, I I do get, but I don't get. She's not going out and killing people for brains.
Yeah.
These are brains that are coming to her, basically.
Yeah.
And it's what she needs to survive. So I'm just like, humans, we need to eat something to survive.
Yeah.
I don't know why she's so pissy about eating the brains.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, but we know Cloud's going to come back to her because he still thinks she's psychic. And if she's having visions, he's going to want to know about them.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
Well, and they're friends, too. I mean, he's had his upsetness because she went into this vigilante thing, which he doesn't understand. I mean, luckily she wasn't wearing something like a big cape and an S on the thing, you know. She's just dressed in this tight black outfit, so, you know, he doesn't necessarily know that, but they're friends. So he's got to talk to her at some point.
Yeah.
Something with her. I wonder if FBI chick is going to kind of like be a back door that gets them back together. Because
maybe.
He was seeing her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if she wasn't on superhero brain, she wouldn't have gone that far.
No.
I mean, if she had a regular, I mean, we've seen her help with cases before where she didn't walk herself into trouble like that, you know.
That's why I wonder what takes it in the brain for her to go so completely
to that side.
Yeah. Well, instead of it just being an enhancement of who she was,
mm-hmm.
being so, I mean, we saw it too, like in the Real Housewives, Real Dead Housewives episode. It
totally took her over.
Totally. She was not herself at all. And then other episodes where it just seems to be an enhancement or something. So I don't know if...
Maybe it depends on the personality. You know, if it has a strong personality, because the housewife would be she would have been a strong personality of a superhero the same way.
So totally opposite of what she is.
I don't know.
She needs something to center her and ground her. I don't like that she broke up. I understand why, because it's like a story trope.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, we have to. But they just got back together.
Yeah.
I think she was just acting. She was just saying in that moment. I think it was just in the moment. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised when we come back in January that, you know, something else happens and everything's just fine again.
Yeah. Well, I know... We do have, they've already talked about the fact that even though that Clive and her have broken up, Clive breaks up with her, she breaks up with Major, that they've already seen pictures of like her and Clive together again. So that's not going to stay too long. We need to have something
chronicalized. Yeah, this is just a temporary thing.
Yeah, I don't know how she's going to get back into it. Our next episode, when it returns on January 12th, is called Method Head. And she's going to be having the brain of an actor. She actually goes to the Zombie High set. And, like, it's one of the actors that.
I saw that.
So she's another interesting one where she's going to have an actor brain. So how is that going to affect her?
Mm-hmm.
What is that going to do with her? You know, because, again, this is somebody who does put on airs for a living.
Yeah.
So she's going to have a brain of somebody putting on airs that she's putting on airs just so she can be herself. So I mentioned earlier that Rob Thomas had said that Clive isn't going to find out. Do we need Clive to not find out? Does he need to find out at some point?
I don't know if he needs to find out, but if there are people like Blaine in this world, I mean, Blaine's not a zombie anymore, but if you have people like him in his ring.
He's still part of Team Z.
I think Clive at some point as a police officer would either witness something or run into a zombie or somehow stumble into whatever this is. Whether he ends up finding out if Liv is a zombie might be a different story. But
I think
at some point he's going to have to.
I think you got it right. I think he needs to find out about zombies. But maybe, again, just like how Major doesn't want to let Liv know that he's doing this to save her, she doesn't want to see, you know, just like how she had those visions of what Major would do if he ever found out she was a zombie and, you know, all this kind of stuff. She doesn't want to go through that with him again, so maybe she's covering it up there. But I think Clive, I don't want Clive to stay totally in the dark about Team Z in general. Maybe not Scooby Gang Team Z, but yeah, I think you're right. I think he does need to. Maybe not
at some point. At some point, he needs to have an idea of it.
There's too much other stuff going on, and they've already hinted, like when Suzuki's widow brought the brain there and all that. I mean, they've already tried to go to Clive with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to. He needs to at least know you're right about Team Z,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily Liv. Okay, so this episode, Cape Town, on the iZombie Hotness scale, what number would you give this one? What would you think?
I don't really like this one. I can't think of the peppers.
That's fine.
I don't know. I give it an 8, maybe.
Ooh, you jumped way up high.
I did jump way up high. Thanks to Robbie.
He's just like, I want to go to a convention with Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
That would be so much fun.
I do too.
I did like it, but I think I'm only going to go to a 6. Although I want to kind of push it to a 7, but I told Alex originally, she's not here anymore. Alex left. Whatever. So we're going to be, there's no, that, I guess I'm going to go like 6.5. I'm going to give that extra little half because I really like that major and the call girl.
Yeah. And that was another thing.
That I think was a really great moment and a necessary moment because it adds more dimension to major. The problem I have with giving more dimension to major is that they seem to be doing it in a way that seems to be taking away dimensions from Liv.
Mm.
And I want to see a Ravi episode where he gets something really strong. I want to see Blaine where I'm not so confused about where
he stands.
Yeah, where he stands, what his thing is. And I want to see Liv get her groove back. She's really lost it. And I don't know that the brains that she's been on recently, other than Stalker Brain, should have her losing it. What do you think?
No, I think so. Maybe the next brain will be just some innocent person that got murdered.
Well, next one is the actor. We're going to Zombie
yes.
High.
Zombie High.
So maybe Peyton will get on that. She'll be like Rachel. You know, when Rachel will go down to Days of Our Lives and be like, maybe. Because I know they used to watch that. Okay, well, we will be back. We will try very hard, I'm sorry, to be on time with the next episode. Because we don't have an excuse. We have a month off of iZombie. We're going to try and record some women's genre in the meantime, but we have a month off from iZombie. We will be back to talk about Method Head, episode 10 of season 2, and that does come back to the CW on January 12th. Check your local listings for station and time. We'd love to hear what you think. What do you rate this? Doreen gave this one an 8. I gave it a 6.5. Where would you rate this episode? You've had plenty of time, because we're late getting this out, so you've had plenty of time to think about it. Let us know. You can email us, scififorchicks@scififorme.com. You can also let us know on Twitter, @scififorchicks. I have to get some more tweets out. I've been tweet deficient, because, well, it's Christmas. I've been busy. The house is decorated.
Everybody's busy.
It's just been busy. You can also call our hotline and let us know. That's 573-427-2434-573-42-SCI-5. And of course, go over to iTunes and subscribe to us. You can find us there by searching for Sci-Fi for Chicks. And please leave any comments and ratings. We would love to hear what you think about us and get some feedback there. While you're there, go ahead and check out Sci-Fi for Me Radio, and then you can catch all the other podcasts like Level 117, which is the Marvel podcast that will be covering Agent Carter in the break, the mid-season break that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has. There's Rogues Gallery, if you like DC, H2O, Echo Chamber, and Sci-Fi XY. I think I've got all of it there. And also on Chicks, if you are a Grimm fan, Doreen is a Grimm fan, but she can't listen because she's behind.
I'm behind.
She's behind. Maya and Cammie also do Grimly Speaking, which is a Sci-Fi for Chicks look back at season 6, episode by episode. No, season 5. They've done 6 episodes. They did 6 episodes, then went on a break.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a tough life. I wish I could do that. Yeah, I'll just do a few episodes. Okay, we're going to take a mid-season Christmas break. And there, we have some talks. Marie and I were talking about maybe doing something for Gallivant. Did you watch Gallivant at all?
No.
Oh, it's so funny.
I know it's funny.
So funny.
I haven't seen it.
It's only 4 episodes the first season. And the second season is 6.
You already know how many shows I'm behind.
She's so behind.
I am so,
so
behind.
Many shows. She has seen the 6 Star Wars movies that are out, so she won't be totally lost on Friday.
Yeah, but I haven't seen them recently.
No, but you have at least seen them, so.
Yes, I have.
You know who Luke is.
Yes.
Don't mess with my Luke headcanon. I love you, J.J. Abrams, but don't mess with my Luke headcanon. I'm scared. We will see you next year for iZombie, and hopefully sooner for Women of Genre. And do check out scififorme.com, because we're going to have all sorts of Star Wars stuff on there. I'm going to send some Star Wars memories that I have there of my obsession with Star Wars.
Drink. I can't wait. I can't wait. It just sucks that I have to go to work afterwards, but that's all right. Yeah. Half a day is fine.
Yeah. Well, you know, so it's been, we couldn't get tickets together in good seats. I didn't want crappy seats. This is what age does for me. I don't want crappy seats for Star Wars. So we're not seeing it Thursday night, but we're seeing it first thing Friday morning. That's the way we went.
That's actually fine.
That's the way the tickets were also cheaper.
Yay! All about saving a few bucks.
So we'd love to hear what you think about Star Wars Force Awakens. So you can let us all know there on sci-fi4me.com. Dre, thanks for joining me.
You're very welcome.
It's been thanks for having me. It's been fun. Well, of course, because you were the co-host. You're dashing through the snow during Shadle.
That's right. I am.
Even though we have no snow, it's quite warm.
I wish to God I would have signed my Christmas cards like that.
Retroactively, that's what all her cards are signing.
That's right. Thank you so much. Happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, which just ended.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Festivus
Happy New
for
Year.
The rest of us.
Festivus for the rest of us. Saturnalia. And Boxing Day, if you happen to that's go right. for that. I always think Boxing Day is mainly because it's the day after Christmas and everybody's fighting for the cheap deals. I think that's why it's called Boxing Day.
No, maybe.
No, it's not. Somebody in Britain's going to go, no.
No.
No, you silly American. Yeah, we'll be. Thank you so much for listening to us as we ramble on here about the end. We will see you next year, and we want to hear your Star Wars stuff, so let us know. Until then, Happy New Year. See you in 2016.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon, or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton, shirts and art for fans by fans.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.